I'm Jim Schultz, and this is From Theory of Practice. Welcome to the show today. Welcome to the broadcast. Welcome to the day after the apocalyptic FOMC meeting yesterday, where Uncle Jay saved the day and then stomped on everyone's throats and then saved the day again and then stomped on everyone's throats. So thank you for joining us here today. I hope you're doing well out there in your neck of the woods. If you're watching on the Tasty Live Network, now we're actually bouncing over to YouTube. If you're bouncing over YouTube and you join the discussion in real time, you can communicate with your brethren that are also watching the show. They're in the YouTube chat. You can talk with them. You can make some friends. You all can kind of, you know, join forces and troll my trades in real time, including the Apple earnings trade that we have ready to go for you all after the bell today. So let's pop in. Let's have a wee little look-see at what's going on in the market. And oh, as always, if you have any questions for me, I would drop them in the chat box now, and I will try to get to as many as I can in just a little bit. So, all right, so the index is looking pretty good, you know, looking pretty strong after the most important FOMC meeting of our lifetimes that somehow we got through just yesterday. Even the S&P is up 36. Got the risk-free instrument up 170 here today, looking pretty strong and robust. Got the boomers up 230, got the Russell 2000 futures index up 30, so about 1.5% on the Russell 2000 futures. Got bonds are unchanged. You got notes are pretty much unchanged. Got oil up 30 cents. You got gold up a couple bucks. And everything is looking good. All is right in the world. Once again, inflation has been defeated. So we should all take a victory lap or two or three or maybe 200, which is what the NASDAQ is doing here today. Now up 175. So there's your overall market commentary. It's not going to do anything for you in terms of improving your skills as a trader. But nevertheless, it's out there. So what I want to do now today is, speaking of victory laps, and I can't believe it. I can't believe it at all. But we actually hit that SPX butterfly yesterday. So I want to start the show with talking about the SPX butterfly that we did on Tuesday. And I took it off early yesterday before FOMC because we kind of walked into like a $200 profit before Uncle Jay even took the stage. Before my man even grabbed the mic, we were up $200. I'm like, I think I'm going to go ahead and take this off. Let's kind of, you know, be smart about this. Let's not try to be a hero even and just kind of take our profit. So that was SPX. We did that. We also have our Amazon earnings trade on, which we still have on. And we're going to talk about that in a couple of minutes. And then I think Uber, we might even take our Uber trade off. And then, of course, we will get to Apple here on the program today. I have a trade ready to go for you all that Amelia May has cooked up for us. And so we will see if our earnings, good fortune, and good tidings come to a screeching halt here today. But I have high hopes that it might continue. So, okay, so let's go ahead and let's take a look at, let's go into the activity page. We could use the chains here, but since I don't have it on, I feel a bit more comfortable doing the activity page. The old school OG activity page. So SPX, these are the last two trades that you can see that we did in the portfolio. So the SPX trade, we put this on together on April 30th, so Tuesday at 2:29. So we did that, you know, halfway through the show or just on the, you know, the second half of the show. We did that. It was a 1x2x1. So this is very much a standard plain vanilla Betty Crocker butterfly that we did 5,000, 50, 30, and 50, 60. I don't know where SPX closed yesterday. I'm kind of curious now because it was, you know, around 2 o'clock when the number came out, the market didn't really move too much. But then at 2:30, when Powell took the mic and started doing his, you know, his testimony and his little press release and then the Q&A, like it was whipping around quite a bit. I mean, it looked like, you know, inflation was defeated and then the market got hammered and then inflation was defeated again. So that happened about 3 or 4 or 7 different times. So I'm not sure where SPX closed yesterday. I'm actually a bit curious now, but you can see that we took this trade off at 11:30 yesterday. So I was looking at the markets and I had every intention. And I talked about this. Go back and watch the show on Tuesday. If you missed it, the first go on, you will hear me go ahead, you know, tune in. Let's see. I put the trade on at 2:29. So if you start watching it, like maybe 2:08, 2:09, that's when I start my trade analysis. So you will see me, you will hear me say, hey, I plan on taking this through FOMC. I anticipate it's going to be pretty quiet in the morning. I don't necessarily expect us to be able to get out of this trade before FOMC. It's going to be something we're going to hold, you know, going through the number, maybe going through the press conference, et cetera. Well, I was wrong. I was dead wrong. I mean, the market was dropping basically after our show and then into the following morning that it just settled right in the middle of our short strikes. essentially. It wasn't like we didn't pin the short strike per se, but we were very, very, very close. I mean, you can see we got out of the trade at 11:30, like on the nose. And so we can go into the chart here. We can very easily see where the price was when we closed this trade. Now, I could go to the follow page and I could do it that way, and that would be a bit easier, I guess. But for those of you that aren't putting your trades on the follow page, which is going to be most of you, if not all of you, that's just something we're able to do here on the Tasty Network. You don't have access to that. So it's like, well, how would I figure out where a price was when I put a trade on, you know, back in the, you know, a day ago, a week ago, whatever. I mean, if you record that in like a journal or something, that's obviously going to be helpful. But if you don't have that and you have a really nice timestamp, that's like, I mean, this isn't like 11:33. Or like, you know, 11:26, where I got to, you know, open up my Errol Coleman settings. I can just go to something like a 30-minute chart, and we're going to be able to see exactly where the price was when I took this off. So let me go to my SPX. Let's go ahead and let's do a 30-minute. Let's do a 30-minute two-day chart. And now I'm looking for 11:30 a.m. on 5-1. So that's going to be right here. So there you go. Boom. This is where this, I'm going to leave my cursor on that candle right there. Right when that candle opened, that's when I took the trade off. So you can see the price was 50.22. So we weren't, again, we weren't on our short strike. We were still 8 points away from the short strike, but man, it's pretty close. And we were inside of the butterfly net, which of course is just going to be basically inside of your long strikes. And I looked at this and I'm like, all right, like we're walking into, I mean, this is most likely going to be the last FOMC meeting that we're going to have. These are most likely going to be the final moments of our time here on Earth. So I was like, well, let me enjoy those final moments, maybe cross a couple of things off my own bucket list in the next couple of hours with this $200. So I was like, well, let me take off this $200. Let me just move on with my life since my life is now running short. We only have maybe two and a half hours left. And so I went ahead and I took it off knowing full well that it's about to get crazy in just a couple of hours. And so that's what happened Tuesday and then into yesterday for the SPX butterfly that we did. It is essentially like an earnings trade. I mean, when you're doing something around a Fed meeting, like a butterfly, iron condor, you know, whatever you might be doing, you kind of treat it the same way as an earnings trade, right? Obviously, the timing is a lot different. With earnings, it comes out right after the bell, and then you manage it, you know, the next day or whatever. With the Fed at 2 o'clock, it's like, you know, you're kind of waiting around, not usually doing too much until 2 o'clock and then 2:30. And then it's just total chaos. It's just total craziness trying to get out of that trade, like at the end. I was like, I really don't want to deal with that. I've got today's assignment with Errol at 2:45. And it's like, I like to focus on the content for that show. I don't necessarily want to be, you know, trading in the background and trying to get an SPX fill while Errol's trying to, you know, talk to me and ask me questions and communicate about the subject matter that day. And so I took it off early and I feel good about it. But if we look at the close yesterday, so where did it close? So it closed at, interesting. Very interesting. So it closed at 50.17. So it closed a little bit lower than where it was when we took the trade off. You know, had we run it all the way to expiration, we probably would have had, we almost certainly would have had a much, much bigger winner, because then all the extrinsic value would have been out of the options and it would have just been a pure intrinsic play. We probably would have been looking at, you know, maybe double the winner at that point. And so, I mean, you're looking at, let's see here. We would have 27. And then, yeah, I think we would have made an extra $500 or $600. So, I mean, instead of this being, it ended up being like a $200 winner, I think we may have had like a $600 or $700 or $800 winner if we held it to expiration. But again, I mean, that's, I'm looking at all this through hindsight, right? Everybody bats pretty well in the rearview mirror. Like I haven't met a single person who hasn't hit 1,000 when you're kind of looking back over your shoulder saying, well, I should have done this and I should have done that. And so I'm pretty happy with the outcome, and we'll go ahead and take it and move on. And somehow, I still don't know how it happened, but we got through. We got through the apocalyptic FOMC meeting that was yesterday. And I really, truly cannot believe it. But guys, we are not out of the woods. Not by a long shot. Because tomorrow morning at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, we have the most critical NFP report that I can remember. This is the most critical NFP report that is certainly going to span my lifetime, which is 42, now going on 43 years. I mean, this is it, right? The weight of the global financial marketplace is hinging on the made-up numbers that come out tomorrow morning at 8:30. Are they 2,000 above? Are they 3,000 below? Like, how much did we revise the made-up numbers from 2 months ago and 3 months ago? Like, that's what we're going to be all eyes on, those numbers and then just figure out how they cook the books this weekend or this month. But that's tomorrow. That's tomorrow, and maybe even this weekend. But that's tomorrow morning at 8:30. I would obviously get your affairs in order tonight because this could be it. And so, all right, so that's SPX. There's a little preview of NFP. It's probably about as good as any other preview that you're going to find anywhere else because nobody really knows. Nobody has any idea what's going on. So, all right, so now let's go ahead and let's see. And oh, by the way, let me know, how are you guys playing Apple? What are you guys doing in Apple? Let me know in the chat box. I'd be very, very curious to know what you guys are doing in Apple. So Amazon, there's not really much to say here. You know, we sold the strangle for Amazon. We decided not to play it directionally, and Amazon barely moved, which is incredible for, you know, the high-flying, big tech, you know, Megatron stock that Amazon is. I mean, it only moved up or down by like 5 or 8 points. It was really nything. And so we sold this strangle for like $5. It's now pricing at under $2. And so we have, you know, basically a $3 winner on our hands. Yes, we still have 50 days to go in the trade, but there's no reason. There's absolutely no reason to keep this trade on. There's absolutely unequivocally no reason to continue to push forward for, you know, some more juice and, you know, some more quarters in front of the steamroller. So I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to take off Amazon here. Let's go ahead and let's highlight that. Let's go ahead and close this guy down. Let's see here. 185. I'll do 186. It doesn't matter at this point. So $1.86, no takers. All right. Let's go ahead and let's go $1.88. All right. So fill that $1.87. No problem. That's perfectly fine. And I will push that out on the follow page. All right. So that's Amazon. The other trade is our Uber trade. So you can see we're up. I mean, we're getting hurt a little bit today on the Uber trade, down 10 cents. But man, we're up like almost $200 on this trade. And one of the tricky things about, you know, poor man's covered call or poor man's covered put, which is what we have on at Uber right here, you know, you can go for like 50% of max profit if you want to. I mean, that would be a huge profit, as we've talked about, you know, over the short life of this trade. We've only had this gone for a week or two. And so, yes, I mean, I have a $20 wide, you know, poor man's covered put, and I bought it for $13.65. So my profit potential there is essentially going to be the difference between those two. Now, is it exactly the difference between those two? No, because you can reduce basis multiple times. That's the nature of a poor man's cover put. In fact, this difference between the strike width and what I paid for it, this is going to understate, this is going to underestimate the actual profit potential in this strategy because there's multiple opportunities to reduce basis and improve your purchase price and kind of expand your profit potential. But still, I'm looking at this situation and I'm like, you know, we're in a pretty good spot. Like, we're up almost $2 on the trade. And when you do a poor man's covered call or a poor man's covered put, you know, it's a directional trade for the most part. Now, it's not like as directional as like buying stock or buying futures where it's just a purely directional play. Like, you have the short premium, you have the other components that are working for you in the strategy. And so that is, of course, really, really beneficial. But when it comes to like figuring out what kind of profit you want from the trade, you know, I wish I could give you guys a black and white answer. Like, I wish I could tell you guys it's just, it's A or B, it's X or Y. Like, you're just looking for, you know, this or that. I don't think it's that simple. I really don't think it's that simple. You can go for 50% max profit if you want to. Like I said, that's pretty high in my opinion. That might be hanging around a bit longer than you need to. That might be kind of, you know, sticking around a little bit longer than what is necessary to have a nice trade on your hands. Now, what is a nice trade when it comes to this? Only you can decide that. I mean, to me, I'm looking at this trade. We've been in this trade for what, like a week? I mean, maybe, I don't know, a week and a half? I mean, let me pull up the chains here really quick. So if I bring up the Allison chains here, we click on that guy. And yeah, so it's April 18th. So yeah, it's about 2 weeks. So almost about 2 weeks exactly we've been in this trade. And it's like, man, a couple hundred bucks in 2 weeks. And it's not like the stock has completely fallen out of bed. Like, I feel like, you know, it's gone down a little bit, obviously. Otherwise, we wouldn't be making money on the trade. But it hasn't gone down a ton. And yet we've been able to, you know, eke out a pretty nice looking profit on this trade. So I feel like let's just take it off. Let's just move on and let's redeploy that capital into this Apple earnings trade. And let's see if we can light a big, thick, healthy stack of cash on fire. I mean, we've tried. I've tried really hard the last couple of days, and somehow we keep, you know, walking into winners. Somehow we keep kind of fumbling our way into these profitable trades, you know, with Tesla, and Amazon, and SPX, Uncle J trades. And so let's take Uber off. So thank you very much there, John Stein, for the Uber trade recommendation. I do appreciate you, my friend. And so let's see if I go in at maybe 1544. We'll see if we can get filled here really quick. 1546. No takers. I mean, what are we trading MNQ options now? MNQ options are bad. Y'all know. Oh, you know what? Haha, this is funny. So I'm going to pause on this for just a second. If you notice, I've continued to penny up and I'm not getting filled, right? I don't get filled there. I got a penny up to get filled. And the reason why I'm doing that is because I'm so used to having to penny up to get filled on a short premium trade that you're having to buy back. So when you have to buy something back, if you can't get filled at X price, you typically have to add, you know, a couple pennies to X to get filled. Because again, remember that, you know, those extra pennies go straight into Tom Sosnoff's back pocket. So we got to make sure that he's happy so that he keeps the platform open for us and we can keep doing what we love doing. And so we usually penny up to kind of find that equilibrium price that, you know, makes Tom happy. Well, in this situation, we're not buying this back to close out the trade. We're actually selling it out or selling it back or selling it somewhere to close out the trade. And so when I'm pennying it up, I'm actually trying to get a better fill price than what I was trying to get when it was showing me X. And so that's one of the reasons why I'm not getting filled here, because, you know, I tried to sell it for 1540. I couldn't find a taker on the other side. I tried to sell it for 1545. I'm obviously not going to find a taker on the other side, and so on and so forth. And so I actually need to go down in price to try to find someone to take the other side of this. So no takers at 1542 or whatever it was we just tried. Let's try 38. All right, so we got improved to 39. So there you go. So 1539 is your trade price there on Uber. All right, so that's it. Man, this is looking pretty paltry. I mean, we have our MNQ strangle, which is looking pretty good right now. I'm not going to really talk about that here today. We've got our Netflix Iron Condor, which is also looking pretty good. Love me a good Iron Condor, man. Y'all know that. I don't have to tell you that. I don't have to remind you that. Love me a good Iron Condor, especially the super, super tight ones where you can't make any money. Oh, man, those are my absolute favorite. But this Netflix trade looking pretty good. And then we've got Reddit. Wow, 15 days to go. This one's coming down to the wire. But now we've got a little bit of a rally here, 270 up in Reddit. So that's kind of nice. We just need this thing to jump over that 50 hurdle, and then we'll be in a good spot. So we'll sit tight on that, and we'll come back to that guy tomorrow or even, you know, Monday or whatever. And then UNG, of course, our Natty Light Ice position. It's up about 74 cents today, which, I mean, that's 5 or 10 30 packs right there. And so that's looking pretty good. And so we're going to sit tight and do nothing. All right, let's go into Apple because, man, we're already halfway through the show. It's so fast. You guys have no idea how quickly it goes for me. It's so fast. Even when I put myself on 1.75X, which is what I'm on right now. So let's go into Apple. And if you guys have questions, comments for me, drop them in the chat box. I'm going to try to get to as many as I can. We're going to go lightning fast through these questions. I may even get to two today. So what I want to do, it's not going to surprise you guys. If you guys have been following the show, this is not going to surprise you guys at all. If you guys are a loyal viewer of From Theory to Practice, man, I appreciate you. I appreciate you guys so much. You don't even understand and realize how much I appreciate you guys that watch the show at all, and especially those of you that watch the show on a regular basis, man. Thank you guys so much. We are going to do an expected move butterfly, obviously, because it's Thursday, right? And this is the perfect day to do an expected move butterfly, because if we get a good price move, a la a Tesla, a la an SPX, a la an Amazon, if we get the perfect price move, then we could hit a home run tomorrow, relatively speaking. It all depends on, you know, the width of the strikes and the debit that we pay and all those kinds of things. But because you're at the very end of the cycle, you don't have to worry about the extrinsic value building up in the shorts like you would if you did this trade like 45 days out, or 30 days out, or 7 days out, or even 3 days out, right? So Thursdays are the best day to do expected move butterflies in my experience. So now we just have to figure out which side are we going to play this on? Well, it's already written. Like, I can't be changing the strikes now. I can't be changing the directional bias now. Amelia May has got us down playing Apple, obviously, to the upside. I mean, how can you not play Apple to the upside? I mean, the Apple Vision Pro goggles, like, nothing says cool like walking around looking like you're wearing scuba gear and just pinching at the air, right? Like, if I'm walking around, I'm pinching at the air, man, nothing says cool. Nothing says come be my friend. Nothing says I'm probably looking for some friends like walking around with the Apple Vision Pro goggles and pinching at the air. So we're going to play Apple to the upside. Little Apple Vision Pro goggle play to the upside. They're probably going to come out with the Apple Vision Pro 2 tomorrow, or tonight, I mean. And so that's going to be very well received by the market, of course. So what Amelia wants to do for us, man, I mean, look at this girl, man. She's got a little, I hate to say this, but she's got a little Tom Sosnoff in her. She's got a little Shooter McGavin in her. Like, she wants to go a little wide, do a little 172, 182 and a half, 172 and a half, 182 and a half, 192 and a half. Obviously, doubling up on the 82 and a half. And man, we're only paying $2.55 for this. Now, we're overshooting the expected move to the upside a little bit again, because just think about the Apple Vision Pro. How can you not overshoot to the upside? How can you not overshoot this guy? A little bullishness plus, a little bullishness extra, right? That's the only way that you can play this thing. So 172 and a half, 182 and a half, 192 and a half, $2.52. We're in the 1 day cycle, May 3rd expiration. Come hell or high water, this thing is going to meet its maker tomorrow. And so I like it. I like it a lot. You know, the max profit is 745. That would be if we pin the short strike at expiration. We're not going to do that. But if we do get a good move in our favor here, you know, it's not that crazy that we can make a couple bucks on this trade. You know, now again, you know, because trying to thread the needle for Showtime is so difficult with expected move butterflies. If this does come in to where I want to take it off early, I will do that. And you'll see it on the follow page right away because I post it right after I get done. But also, I probably tweet about it first. I probably go fill the trade, tweet about it, and then push it through the follow page. Like, that's typically what the sequence of events. So if you want to see it like hot off the presses, then I would connect on Twitter and you'll see it over there. So 172 and a half, 182 and a half, 192 and a half. Sorry, 257. Let's go for it. All right, filled. There you go. One more thing I want to do though. There's one more package to this. We're feeling so good about the Apple Vision Pro. We are going to finance this trade in June by selling a 160 naked put. So we're not even going to define the risk. We're going to go naked so we can get pure exposure to the short premium. And we're going to sell this for about $2. So we paid $250 for the butterfly. We're going to sell this put to finance about, 80% of that with the credit coming in from the short put. Now, if Apple rallies, then we stand to potentially make money on both. If Apple, you know, crash, boom, bangs, and people realize, hey, Apple Vision Pro, kind of a dumb idea, then we could be in a really bad spot. But we feel really good about this. And so we're just going to move forward with no more questions. So $1.99 is what we're looking at. Boom, filled instantaneously, $1.99. And there you go. So short put and an upside butterfly. I mean, there's just no way. There's no way this is going to lose, which means we're going to be battling this position for many, many months to come. So, all right, let's get into y'all's questions and let's see where you guys are. So David Gallimore's in the house. Now, what's going on there? David Gallimore, I appreciate you, my friend, very much. He says, hey, Dr. Jim, if I sell an Ironfly for a 2140, there we go. I roll the tested side. Okay. It's a little unorthodox, but I like it. For a 445 debit. And then I roll the other side, which is now tested. Okay. It's a little whipsaw for a 640 debit. Debits left and right. What is my new max profit of the newly created strangle? Is it 1055? So it's basically going to be the original credit minus the two debits that you paid. So it looks like you are correct. That looks like it's 85. Yeah, that's correct. And so it's 1055. And so that is 100% correct. Like, any debits, it's no different than any other defined risk short premium strategy. Anytime you roll for a debit, whether you're rolling up, you're rolling down, you're rolling in, you're rolling out in time, it doesn't matter. If you pay a debit, that debit eats away at the credit that you've collected. Now, if you start changing strikes and things like that, then that changes the nature of the strategy. But assuming that the strikes are still the same, then it's just gonna be kind of a one-for-one disappearing act of the credit that you've collected. And so just as you've correctly calculated here, your maximum profit has essentially been cut in half. Now, again, I mean, you know, you had to make your moves, you had to make your adjustments, you had to do those kinds of things. And so it's not necessarily a gotcha without a gimme. There's some gimmies in there too, but that is the main gotcha that you're dealing with, which is going to be profit potential being trimmed down. And so Paul says, good afternoon to all. Good luck this afternoon with the Apple earnings report. That's right. You know, the worst thing about the Apple earnings report is they make us wait, man. They make us wait till 4:30. Like, y'all saw Amazon yesterday, just like we talked about on the show. They released that thing right after the bell. I mean, you had the bell, and then within 45 seconds, I think the number was out. Like within, it was a minute and a half at the most. Like, man, they get that thing out. Like Bezos has got the efficiency down. He's got the production process down. Like he knows what he's doing, right? Like not unlike when you buy something from Amazon, it's at your door before you can even get up off the couch. That earnings report was released as soon as the closing bell hit. So that was kind of nice. It was just kind of nice just to kind of see where it's going to happen. But no, Tim Cook and all the guys and gals over at Apple, they make us wait at 4:30, which is a little bit brutal. But here we are. So good luck on your Apple earnings trade, Paul, if you decide to venture into those waters. So Caleb Gades says, I'm thinking about selling call spreads. I'm afraid they'll announce the iCar or something dumb. Now, if they're going to announce something dumb, it's going to be the Apple Vision Pro 2. Like, it's going to be the Apple Vision Super Pro. Like, when they announce the Apple Vision Super Pro, then we'll know that we're in some dumb territory at that point. So John Stein, what's going on there, John Stein? Again, I appreciate you, man, for the Uber trade. That was your idea, if I'm not mistaken. John Stein says, good day, Dr. Jim. I'm traveling today to my third child graduation, Caroline. How about that? I have one left to pay for. I got out of my Uber trade today. You and me both. Well done, my friend. I need a few more to pay for my fourth, and then I'm done. Yeah, well, I mean, you know, gave you an Apple idea for tonight. I still think the safe bet is fading me and fading all that I do. I think that's going to be, you know, a much, much better ROI in the end, you know, on your investment. But we have happened to, you know, discover a winner or two in the last couple of weeks, which is I'm the most surprised one here. Trust me. No one is more surprised at this than me. And so yeah, John, you know, obviously proceed with caution and your mileage may vary on the Apple trade, but that gives you a little something to think about. And congratulations on your third child graduation. That is a tremendous feat. Absolutely tremendous feat. And so Omid, what's going on there, Omid? Hey, Dr. Jim, thanks for the Tuesday trade idea, man. You are welcome, my friend. Thanks for the support of the show. I tried a strangle and a butterfly trade for the first time and both were profitable. Man, that's famous last words right there. Your guidance was a huge help, man. Look at this. Somebody framed this comment. Thanks again. You are the best, man, Omid. I'm going to send you all that cash that we talked about for you putting that in the stream at this very time. So thank you, my friend. I appreciate you so much. And I'm very encouraged to know that you got off to a good start and you can kind of, you know, you can hopefully build some momentum, like build some momentum from the strangle, build some momentum from the butterfly. You know, just to give you one little kind of tip, and one little piece of advice moving forward, I would say, and I think most traders, at least inside the Tasty universe, would agree with me, in terms of like regular profits and in terms of like consistency, I think you should expect more out of your strangles than your butterflies. Like the butterflies are fun, and when you hit them, like it's great. It can really, you know, it can do some nice damage in that day. But over time, like over a series of like months and quarters and years, I think it's going to be the more traditional short premium trades that are really going to be the more reliable, you know, profit drivers for you. And so just keep that in mind. I mean, by all means, I mean, I just didn't expect to butterfly an Apple. So, you know, fade me, tail me, whatever you want to do. I mean, for earnings, these are really, really fun. I think they can be effective strategies. But by and large, the money that you're going to make consistently, sustainably over time, it's not necessarily going to be tied to earnings. It's not necessarily going to be tied to these binary events. And so thinking in terms of like bigger picture, like where should I, you know, kind of focus my efforts and where should I try to improve my skill? You know, for my money, it's always going to be on the undefined risk, you know, kind of reliable profit drivers. So short strangles, ratio spreads, you know, short puts, things like that from a short premium standpoint. And then, of course, I mean, there's a whole nother world of like futures and things like that that you could kind of, you know, get involved in. And, you know, that's where you definitely want to tap into your Errol Coleman settings and kind of see what he's doing. So Randy Ang, here we go. Randy Ang says, Dr. Jim, how about a trade to short DJT? Man, a little Donald Trump media. Isn't it up today? It was up the other day. Up $3 today. Wow. Man, this is some crazy stuff. So it's a tough trade, man. Long or short, in my opinion. So back in 2021, I'll give you a little bit of context, Randy. I'm going to pass on Donald Trump's stock here. Back in 2021, when the GameStop stuff all happened, that was some crazy, crazy stuff. And somehow, just by honestly sheer luck, I was able to avoid that whole situation. I did not get wrapped up. I did not get involved in any trades. I don't really have a good reason why. It was obviously in play. Everybody was trading it. Everybody was doing things, you know, doing different things in there. And I just didn't for whatever reason. Well, you know, it was really crazy and really interesting to even observe from the sidelines. Well, after all that happened, you know, shortly after that, I think AMC started doing something similar. And then you had Bed Bath & Beyond. And then you've had, you know, some of these other stocks, you know, along the way. These meme-type stocks, which I'm going to put DJT in that category for sure. Whether Wall Street Bets has their hands on it or not, I'm not sure. But still, it's these stocks that can, like, you know, jump 100% overnight versus, like, fall 50%, you know, overnight. Or even fall 100% overnight. I don't typically mix it up with these stocks too often. Now, from time to time, I will violate my own rules. But hey, if you've ever seen a Friday show, that's just how it goes. Those are the rules for the Friday show. They usurp the other rules that say I'm not going to do X and I'm not going to do Y. We've done Viking Therapeutics before. We've done some different things. But since it's only a Thursday, feels a lot like a Friday, but it's only a Thursday. I want to keep it a little bit buttoned up. I'm going to pass on Donald Trump because I just feel like, you know, this is a situation where, yeah, I mean, just look at this, man. I mean, look at these puts. I mean, this tells you all you need right here. Now, again, your mileage may vary. You know, you got to do you. If you're looking at this and you're chomping at the bit, then, you know, you've just self-identified as Shooter McGavin. And that's okay. Like, that's absolutely okay. There's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. You just have to be aware of what you're signing up for. Like, when I'm looking at this thing, you know, I'm looking at a premium on the 40 strike on a $48 stock of $15. So that, I mean, that puts your break-even point at 25. That puts the most you can lose at 2,500 bucks on an undefined risk trade, like a short put, in this stock, in DJT. That's pretty crazy if you really think about it. That would be if it goes to zero, of course. That's pretty wild. It's not going negative. This isn't oil, right? This isn't going to be negative $37 a share where, you know, you get a share of DJT and they give you $37. Like, that's not going to happen. But when you look at this, I'm like, man, this is crazy. Now, some of you, again, might be looking at that. You're chomping at the bit. Like, man, there's so much juice in those options. I'm gonna go for it. I don't know, man. I don't know at all. Not to mention all the deltas are kind of messed up, which just tells me that there's a ton of, like, you know, like, I'm looking at, like for example, looking at, like, the 48, 49, right? I'm actually doing a piece on this. I'm actually working on a piece on this. I don't have the answer to this, but I'm working on the answer. So when you look at a situation like this, you've probably seen this before, right? Where you're looking at, you're like, all right, I'm looking at the 49 strike. Let me just circle one strike. Look at the 49 strike. I'm expecting the deltas on those options to be around 50. Okay, I go to the call side, it's 54. Okay, that's fine. I go to the put side, it's 26. That doesn't make any sense. So something odd is happening in these markets. Like, it's not a mathematical error. Like, there wasn't some intern that was working on the Black-Scholes model and just accidentally like inputted like an epsilon where there should have been like a sigma or something like that. Like, that's not what has happened here. There's a reason why this is the case. And I'm actually working on a skinny for what that reason might be. It's almost like, from what I've gathered so far, which is certainly not a complete thought or a complete picture, but it's almost like another layer of skew in a way. It's almost like a hidden layer of skew when you see the deltas not lining up around the money. So again, I don't have a complete thought. That's pretty much the only thought that the only partial thought that I have for you all here today, but it's kind of like some kind of second derivative of skew that's kind of baked into the markets. It's kind of communicating, you know, what the market is thinking from a pricing standpoint of kind of where the action is when it comes to big moves in the market. So anyway, I'm going to pass on that there, Randy, but I appreciate you, my friend. And if you do something in there, just keep it small and you should be totally fine. So Matt Johnson, from butterflies to practice, that is correct. It should maybe be from theories to butterflies. But yes, that is 100% correct. So Harsha's in the house. What's going on there, Harsha? Dr. Jim, Tasty recommends to have lots of uncorrelated underlyings. That's correct. I usually have like 6 to 8 core positions with multiple contracts using around 45% of buying power. Is that too little? No, not at all. Absolutely not. I think that's totally fine. I mean, 6 to 8 to 10 positions is perfectly fine. For some people, that's enough. Some people, that's not enough. And so I have just found, I mean, generally most traders are somewhere between like 6 to maybe 20. I would say, you know, most of the population is going to be somewhere within that range. And so 6 to 8, yeah, it's on the lower end, but don't feel like you have to keep up with anybody. Like, this is not a competition. Like, just because Tom has 65 positions on, you don't have to keep up with Tom's 65 positions. Tom can't keep up with 65 positions. I can assure you of that. He's got 65 positions on. My man knows he has like 2 or 3. He knows he's got NVIDIA. He knows he's got maybe a little DJT, and that's it. The rest of it, he has no idea what's going on. So don't let him be your role model when it comes to how many positions you want to carry. This is very much kind of a self thing that you need to figure out on your own. And it depends on a lot of things, Harsha. It depends on, you know, account size, experience level, schedule, things like that. And so I would just, you know, testing and trialing is almost always going to be, you know, the best pathway forward through the forest for you to figure out where you want to be. And so maybe 6 to 8 is a good number. You feel comfortable. I mean, you have 45% of your capital allocated. That's a pretty good number. Like most traders end up, 20-25% is pretty low, but I've certainly seen that. 20-25% up to maybe 50-60% is where most traders are going to land when it comes to capital allocation. So you're right there in the middle of that range, kind of on the upper end of that range, kind of beginning to get into the upper end of that range. So that's a couple things to think about. I think you're totally fine. I definitely don't think it's too little. So Bone Man Walking says 212K. Yes, I believe that's the jobless or jobs claims number that's been pinned at 212,000, like plus or minus like 2,000 for like however many weeks or months in a row. And so, yeah, that's not fake at all. That's not cooked up at all. So Bone Man Walking goes on to say, expecting a butterfly for Apple. That's correct. Down or up. And yes, we are going up. Again, it's just a pure Apple Vision Pro play. I just don't know how you can possibly not play that thing to the upside. So let's see, Delta OP forgot the Apple GameStop mooning. Yes. Apple GameStop. You talking about GameStop? GameStop from 2021? We're talking about Apple. I hope you're talking about Apple. Mooning tonight. Not too much, though. We just need a little bit of a moon. Kind of like a, I guess that'd be what, like a crescent moon? Like just that real thin sliver of a moon. Like I just need like a 5-point push higher. I don't need like a 15-point like gangbusters, you know, rally. That's going to destroy and really upset the Apple cart that we've got right above the market with that butterfly net. And so, yeah, just a tiny little, just a titch, man. Just a couple titches higher, and we should be in good shape. So Manny TP said, Dr. J, using your Uber poor man's cover call, with poor man's cover put, as an example, why 517 for the short put instead of 510? Well, probably just because 517 was the monthly cycle in May. So typically try to stay in the monthly cycles unless there's a really good reason to move off of those and go into the weekly cycle. So that's the answer to that question. Also, perhaps, how do you think of Delta for the long and short puts? Thanks. Also, perhaps, how do you think of Delta for the long and short puts? You mean inside of the strategy? Yes. I don't really look at the deltas too often when I'm doing covered puts. I look at the Delta on the long put. I absolutely do. And usually try to be around 80 or so because I want this thing to replicate, you know, long stock or short stock, as in the case of a poor man's covered put, pretty well. Like, I know it's not going to be a one for one. But, you know, getting 80 cents on the dollar for the move is pretty good when you have a delta, of 80. You know, yes, you could go to 90, 95, whatever, but then you got to pay more. The debit's much higher. It's going to eat up more capital, all that kind of stuff. So I find 80 to be a pretty good level. On the short put strike, I don't really look at the delta too often. I actually just kind of toggle with the different widths of the spread relative to what I'm paying. And then it gives me some idea of what my profit potential is on the strategy. And then I just go with it that way. So I don't really look at the delta on the short side, but I do look at the delta on the long side. And so hopefully that helps you a little bit. Okay, so let's see. Jorge, I think I got that right. Jorge, it could be George. Probably Jorge. I'm going to go with Jorge. Jorge, Acetano. Yeah, I think it's Acetano. I'm just going to go with Jorge. Jorge, hey, Dr. Jim, how much extrinsic would you keep on a $30,000 account? Yes, I usually like holding 60 to 100 theta. Oh, man, that's a perfect level. I'm working with right about the same amount of capital as what you have. And to percentage of net lick, right? So generally speaking, we tend to be between 0.1% of net lick, which is extremely conservative and absolutely the low end, up to, I'd say, 0.5%, maybe 0.6%. If you really want to tap into your inner Shooter McGavin, you could go up that high. But generally, between 0.1 to 0.6, with most of the time, you're 0.2 to 0.5, let's say. Well, you know, to put some actual numbers around that, on a $30,000 portfolio, 30 is 0.1. So you can just do multiples of 30 to get to the other various markers. 60 would be 0.2, 90 would be 0.3, 120 would be 0.4, 150 would be 0.5. So you're 60 to 100, man, that's a great level. You're basically right between 0.2 to 0.3. It's a really, really, really good level. And volatility, I know it's a little bit down today, or at least it was earlier. You've got the VIX down to like what, 14 or whatever? Let's see, we're running out of time here, but yeah, 1480, so down 60 cents. So yes, I mean, volatility is coming down now, but it's been elevated the last couple of weeks. So it makes sense to be on the upper end of whatever range you like to carry. Maybe you like to be 0.1 to 0.3. maybe you like to be 0.2 to 0.4, right? So it makes sense right now to be kind of on the upper end of that range, maybe heading back down as volatility heads back down. But yes, I really like that that level, 6,200. And then we'll try to get to one more really quickly. Mitz R, do you like an EMPH put spread? I can't do that right now just because I don't have time, but I appreciate you, Mitz, very much. And then Dave S, also Dr. Jim, where are you and Errol doing your next segment? Yes, so we are on every Wednesday at 2:45 for today's assignment. We come right after Tom and Dylan for Truth or Skepticism. And so once you get done listening to them just yammer back and forth about a bunch of rigmarole that nobody really cares about, you can tune in for some actual trading. You can tune in for some actual position analysis from myself and Errol Coleman. So that's every 2:45 or every Wednesday at 2:45. Today's assignment, that's when I'll be with E again. So it'll be next Wednesday I'll be with E. But guys, I'm totally out of time. I got to run. I got to get you guys over to Jamal. Good luck on your Apple earnings trades tonight. I gave you guys my trade. I will try to find out how to do the exact opposite of that. And you should be doing quite well. So if I can ever help you guys, please email me. I am jschultz@tastylive.com. Or we can connect on Twitter. I'm @jschultzf3. I would love to hear from you guys as always. But stay tuned. We do have Jamal coming up next with Engineering the Trade. In the meantime, guys, trade them small, train them heavy, and stay grateful. See you guys tomorrow.
The content of this podcast is created, produced, and provided solely by Tasty Life, Inc. and does not represent the direct views or opinions of any of its affiliated companies. This content is for informational and educational purposes only. It is not, nor is it intended to be, trading or investment advice or a recommendation that any security, futures contract, digital asset, other product, transaction, or investment strategy is suitable for any person. Trading securities, futures products, and digital assets involve risk and may result in a loss greater than the original amount invested. Tasty Live Inc., through its content, financial programming, or otherwise, does not provide investment or financial advice or make investment recommendations. The information provided may not be appropriate for all investors and is provided without respect to individual investor financial sophistication, financial situation, investing time horizon, or risk tolerance. Tasty Live Inc. is not a licensed financial advisor, registered investment advisor, registered broker-dealer, or registered introducing broker.